Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, that because of you, that you said we're royalty, Lord. We're heirs of the Father, joint heirs with the Son, Lord. We are family, we are one. And we thank you for the challenge to live right, Lord. Thank you for the challenge to want to live right, to do this right, not about perfection, but connection, the royalty and the loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. As we celebrate communion, Lord, just reminded of what you've done for us. God, the least we can do, as Paul said, the least, the reasonable service, the least we could do is try our best to live a little bit for you, Lord. So we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We love you on today. We thank you that your word is a lamp and a light, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying, crumbling world that's fallen apart right before our eyes. Your word teaches us how to think, how to act, how to live, how to love, how to forgive, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to guess on how to live. Your word makes it plain. Speak to us now. We open our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, speak. Touch your people's heart. Challenge us to be the best we can. So we live for God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So family, did I say 1 Corinthians 15 and 1? I did say that. So Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians. And then make a note right off that he's talking to Christians. He's talking to the Christians in Corinth. So this is messages to believers. And there's been some issues with them talking about the resurrection didn't happen. So as we celebrate communion, we're celebrating it because it's first Sunday. Oh, my God, it's July. Can you believe that? And so I wanted to just pause with the message. And as we're halfway through the year, God help us. God, let us finish the second half of the year just as strong as we started with our leadership retreat, with our men's retreat, with everything that we did to get refocused and reset our lives. So here at this first Sunday, I just wanted to pause so we can put it all back in perspective. Because if the resurrection didn't happen, it is no point for us to even take communion. Right. If the resurrection didn't happen, it's not even a point for us to come to church. We might as well just find something else to do. My youth and those of you in school, and I know we have a couple of them in college and going off to college. They're going to challenge you on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yep. And that's what you have to know for sure. You have to be convinced that Jesus Christ resurrected. You have to be. Because they're going to tell you you can do all this other kind of stuff. And you got to take them right back to the resurrection and tell me how Jesus Christ, what if he didn't resurrect, what happened? And when they tell you they don't know, then you tell them you need to research it because he did resurrect. Right. Don't let them, they're going to try and take you. He said to love everybody. Ask him, did he resurrect? And if he resurrected, then it should change everything. Especially how we live. You're going to be challenged with all type of false doctrine. You got to know that the resurrection happened. So this is what's happening here. Somebody's coming up with the idea that Jesus Christ didn't resurrect. So Paul has to come and set them straight. Could have been in a church setting. He's writing a letter. Maybe he was writing it. Maybe he was reading it in church. But he's talking to Christians. So, family, here we are, halfway through the year. As we finish this year, we got to stand on the resurrection. God knew there'd be wars and rumors of wars and politicians and presidents and all that kind of stuff. He said, hit the pause button. Do this in remembrance of me. Get your life back in biblical perspective. You got a pink slip from your job or your business isn't as thought it would be going as well as it should. The ministry's falling apart. God said, so what? Get back in biblical perspective. I resurrected. I died for your sins. Get your life back in order. Get your priorities back in order. So here we go. Here's Paul saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel is a good message of Jesus Christ saving us. That's a good message. That Jesus Christ rescued us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. That's what the gospel is. So Paul said, I'm declaring unto you the good message. If you don't understand anything, understand that you've been saved through Jesus Christ. Those of you that have joined yourself with Christ. You have to join with Christ. There has to be a transfer of his will to your will. His heart to your heart. There has to be a joining. It's not head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. That's why you should want to talk to God every day. Just like you talk to your BFF or whoever, you should want to talk to God every day. You should not go anywhere without asking God, God, what's going on today? God, I'm praying for everywhere I go today that I have your favor and your grace and I be a light in the midst of all this darkness. You should talk to God just that simple every day. That's the connection. That's what it means to be joined to God. Now, if you get up and you put on your favorite song, and you just watch TV and you go out, I don't know if there's a connection to God. Because you haven't even acknowledged God in anything. So we got to determine, are we really connected to God? When you lay down at night, maybe you listen to you, maybe the TV puts you to sleep. You get on the TV and you watch a show till you fall asleep. Maybe you're having your earbuds and you listen to your song until you fall asleep. Should be a connection where you thank God for the day and you go over your day and you talk to God about your day and how it could have been better, how I could have did this, how I could have represented you better here, and forgive me for saying this and thinking that. You join yourself to Christ, there's a connection. It's a constant connection, never to be broken by anything. Paul said, I'm convinced there's nothing that's going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing should ever separate you. Not life, not death, not ups, downs, victories, defeat, success, failure. Nothing should separate you and I from the love of God. Nothing breaks my connection with God. Jesus died for our sins. Don't let your sin disconnect you from God. Because he already died for that. He's already forgiven you of that. So why should that separate you from God? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Says, the word says he's removed them as far as the east is from the west. So why are you letting that disconnect you from God? Get back connected to God and don't let go. It's too much going on to let go of God. All right, so here we go. Let me get to my read this, Sister Kathy. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. That's what it means. When you received it, you've accepted Christ. You've joined yourself with Christ. So underline received if you're taking notes, which you should be. Have you received it? Have you joined yourself? That's what made them Christians, because they joined themselves to Christ. They received the word. You either receive it or you reject it. And that's what God's holding you accountable for. We don't go to hell because of what we did. We go to hell because either we rejected it as opposed to received it. God don't care. I mean, he does care what you do, but he while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So he already settled that. You're going to mess up. We're going to mess up. You're going to blow it. I died for you. Okay. So receive me so your sins can be covered. You reject me, you have to be held accountable for your own sins. And you take your chance. Well, God, I'll deal with you. Like something, I'll deal with God. I got a thing or two to tell God when I see him. Okay. Do your thing with your big and bad self. Can't balance your checkbook, but you're going to go talk to God about something. Can't even travel without a GPS. And if it goes wrong, you stuck. But you're going to tell God a thing or two. Okay. Do your thing. Yeah, can't even keep your own house together. God runs the whole universe, but you got something to tell him. Okay, do your thing. All right, so let's get deep. As Bishop Omar said, let's go to the deep end of the pool. He says, you received and wherein you stand. Underline stand. Something, you're standing on something right now. You are established, he says, your foundation Your foundation is either you've trusted God to be saved. Family, all of us are standing on something right now. You built your life on something. Your career, your education, your good looks, your wit, your intelligence, your pride, your ego, your degrees. You're standing on something right now. Standing on something right now. You are. We all are. Either it's Christ or something else. Paul said you got to stand on Christ, because look what he says right there. With the next verse, verse 2. By which also you are saved. Wait a minute. Here's the revelation, Sister Washington. So here's the revelation. The same thing that you stand on is the same thing that saves you. Whatever you're standing on is the same thing that's going to save you. Pastor, what do you mean? Okay, I wrote it down here to make it plain. Okay, this is a statement that you make by default. You don't have to say it. It's obvious to everyone around you, especially those with a discerning spirit. You might say, I love you, God, but really. So make sure you know what you're really standing on. Don't fool yourself. Okay, Pastor, so make it plainer. Okay, all right. When you're on your deathbed, whatever you built your life to stand on is what you're going to call on to save you. So I'm on my deathbed. Ooh, money. I know you're going to get me to the next money. I had 1 million followers. Oh, where y'all at? I need y'all right now. My car, my house. Oh, I need you to get me. I'm getting ready to die. Where my house at? My car at? Whatever you've established, my career, my good looks, whatever you, when you're on your deathbed, you call on to save you. Whatever it is, it's your job. Oh, I know my job going to come through. When I transition, I'm going to stand before God and talk about my job. Whatever you stand on, whatever your foundation is, that's what you call on to save you. And I'm telling you right now, if it's not Jesus Christ, it's going to be a bad day. So ask yourself, what am I really standing on? I'm so clever. Got my degrees. I'm good. Okay. And look, family, I don't have to tell you all. Matter of fact, it's not an issue of if we die, it's when we die. We don't like to think about it. But we've all been sick, even with a cold. How many of you had a cold before and you thought you was going to die from a cold? It's like, Lord, I think this is it. God, I need some from a cold. And then you start getting better. You go, man, I thought that was it. And then when that time really comes, what have you built your life on? In Matthew, it talks about the one that built their house on sand and the other one who built their house on a rock. Paul is saying right here, whatever you are standing on, that's what you're counting on to save you. That's the revelation. Wow. That's all I can tell you, family. Make sure you have a heart-to-heart connection with Jesus Christ. Because just like me, when you stand before God, we're going to be all alone. I can't blame y'all. Lord, if the church would have been a little bit better, I would have been a better pastor. We're not having that conversation. If my mama would have did this and my daddy, then I would have been. God ain't trying to hear that. We talked on Father's Day. We got a father. All of us have a father. God said he's adopted us. He's shown us the way. So all I'm doing at the end of the day is making excuses. Make sure you're connected to God. All right, let's keep going. Let me see if that's my. Okay. If you're standing on your stuff, your own understanding, your heart. Who's working with me today? Brother Chris, throw up Proverbs 28:26. What do you say? I'm going to just trust my heart. There you go. I think that's a good idea. No, that's a horrible idea. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Ladies, please don't. When you introduce it, I'm going to just go with my heart. I think this is the one. I'm trusting my heart. Guys, you know, I'm going to just roll. You know, I'm going to trust my heart on this one. Mark this down. We were talking about in the men's meeting this day, which proverb was knocking us over the head. Brother Anthony, this one hit me hard this week. And we've been doing this for years. But this one told me this week on the 28th, 3 days ago, if you trusted in your own heart, you a fool. And then I had to challenge myself. Man, what am I standing on, Brother John? What do I really trust? Brother Maurice, am I trusting in my heart? Because the word tells me I'm a fool. That's the word. Don't get mad at Pastor. I just study the word. I just give it to you like God gives it to me. Okay? I'm just a messenger. Argue with God. Your argument is with God, not with me. Because when I'm standing before God, I got to do what he's called me to do. Then when you stand before him, don't say, well, Pastor would have been a little nicer with the word. I would have received it better. It ain't my word. It's God's word. It's not my word. It's God's word. I'm just a messenger. Your degrees, your job, your cell phone. That's what you're going to call on. You spend so much time on that phone. You dying. Oh, God. I do. What app? Help Jesus. Yeah. You're going to get the Help Jesus app. How about your favorite team? You gonna call on the Raiders to help you out? Oh, I'm getting ready to die, man. They can't help themselves. Thank you, John. Sorry, Raider fans, but I'm gonna call on the Lakers. Yeah, ooh, come on, Lakers. Y'all gonna help me when I'm dying? Your favorite celebrity? Come on, somebody. Come on now. What do you? We spend so much time with this other stuff, but what are we standing on? Says what you stand on is what you're counting on to save you. Make a note. What you are standing on is what you are counting on to save you. Make sure I go over all my notes. Got some more right here. If you stand on anything other than Christ, you are saying, when I'm on my deathbed, that is what is going to save me. Got to join yourself to Christ. You have to receive it, which means you have to connect with it. Don't get caught up in all this political party. I don't think the Republicans or the Democrats going to be there to save your soul. Not your favorite sports team, not your favorite logo or brand or your favorite song. It ain't going to happen. Paul makes it clear that the gospel is what saves us. So remember, they were having issues with the resurrection. Okay, let's see if we can speed this up a little bit. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, all that which I also received. So remember, Paul received it as well with his encounter with Christ and with his encounter with the apostles once his life was changed. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Let me say that again. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Yeah, that is the best news I've ever heard. Not that I got a new house or a new car, or a new job, or my business is booming, but that Christ died for my sins. That's the best news I've ever heard. Well, if y'all, I understand y'all don't sin, so y'all okay. All right. That's not big news to y'all. That's the best news I've ever heard. Nobody can tell you anything better than that. They can't. Nobody can tell you any news better than I'm getting married. Look at my ring. So what? Tell them, been there, done that a couple of times, maybe. It's no news better than reading that Christ died for your sins. Because look at verse 17. Let's get ahead of ourselves, Chris, and let's go to verse 17. Because this is what Paul is trying to tell him he's going to get. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. So think about that. And let's just say, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You only committed one sin in your whole life, just one. But that one is enough to send you to hell. That one. That's all it takes is one. That's why it's such good news. That if Christ didn't raise, your faith is in vain. Family, we're still in our sins. It's a bad day. It's a very bad day. It's the best news. Somebody make a note. That's the best news that you ever going to hear. I don't care. It doesn't get better. And I'll be happy for you getting married. I'll be happy for you got a house and you got a car. But it's a footnote to the story that Christ died for your sins. I got a business. I just made $1 million. Yeah, I'll be happy for you. But Jesus will tell you, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and lose their soul? It's not better news than Christ dying for my sins. I got another note here. Where's my other note at? Let me see. Because maybe y'all don't understand it. Y'all don't understand how important this is. Let me see. Where's that at? Shucks. It's another proverb that hit me. All right, I'm going to come back to it. Where's my notes? That's what happens when you got too much. Oh, I got it. Let's go. This one hit me too. Proverbs 24:9. Because y'all acting like y'all don't understand what's going on. The thought of foolishness is sin. As I was reading that, I was thinking of something stupid. I was already in trouble. Like, oh God, forgive me. So just in case you say, well, I ain't never sinned, but you gonna tell me you never thought about nothing stupid? Man, Brother Bernie, we're going to be held accountable for what we think. And look, as we're all sitting here, everybody's thinking. They're thinking about the foolish stuff they did. Trust me. Don't go back too far. That's why when Paul says Christ died for our sins, I am so happy. You have no idea how stupid my mind can think. Whether I would ever do it or not, I thought about it. And the word says, the thought of stupid foolishness is sin. Whether I would ever do it or not, or ever say it, I thought about it, Sister Tara. And I need forgiveness. God, help me. Because I'm held accountable for what I think. That's what God says. You held accountable for what you think. Now deal with that. Blame it on whoever you want to, but you held accountable, Sister Kathy. God forgive us for what we even say. Why would you even say that? Even if you think it, what we tell the kids, even if you think it, don't say it. And we even said it sometimes. That's why when I read that scripture and it said, let me read it again. Christ died for our sins. Man, that's the best. I got excited. I was like, man. Whew. And so then here's when we're joined together with Christ. And we talked about this before. When you stand before God and you could say, God, what was the last sin I committed? And God would say, I don't remember. Man, y'all didn't get that, huh? When we stand before God. And they're talking about sins. And then I say, well, God, what was the last sin I committed? Brother Anthony, what does he say?
I don't remember.
Amen. That's the best news you can hear. That's the best news you can hear. But if Christ didn't resurrect, we got to get back to the basics. If Christ didn't resurrect, verse 17 says, we're still in our sins and everything we do is in vain. That's why they want to challenge you. The resurrection of Christ and try and tell you, because nobody wants to be held accountable for their sins. They want to serve the God of their own understanding, which means I can do whatever I want to do and I'm saved. And that's not what the word says. Either you serve the God of the Bible or you serve the God of your own understanding. And the God of your own understanding says, I do what I want to do because I'm not as bad as such and such. and everybody else is doing it, and God is love, and he loves everybody. And everybody's a child of God, which everybody is not a child of God. We're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Jesus made it clear in John 8, some of us are children of the devil. And that's your father, the devil, and you do the works of him. So that, but the God of your own understanding makes it sugar-coated. And they don't want to be held accountable. That's why people don't read the word. Not for what they don't understand it about God, but what it does say. I don't read it for, oh, it's just so deep. No, it's the basic stuff like this that says you're held accountable for your sins and you're not on God's level that people don't want to read. You have organizations, Freedom From Religion. They want to get God out of everything. Everything. They want to get the, you know, when you go to the hotel and it's a Bible in a drawer. They want to get rid of all that. Freedom From Religion. We don't want to see God anywhere. Don't open the drawer. Amen. Don't want to be held accountable. Don't want to hear nothing about a sin or a judgment or anything. All right, let's finish with the word. Let's see. Pastor, I know I got talked too much. Got too much. Kathy said I had to feed y'all. I'm trying to feed y'all this morning. Verse 4, and he was buried. Listen, okay, let me put it all together because it goes together. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was seen of Peter, which is Cephas, which is the stone, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, underlined at once. On one occasion, Jesus was seen by 500 people after he resurrected. Make a note of Acts 1 and 3. After he resurrected, he was teaching and preaching for 40 days. And those of us who are fortunate enough next year, when we go follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, we're even going to visit the prison where Paul was before his head was cut off. This is Paul is talking right now to the church at Corinth out of a historical fact. He's saying, you can research this. He said he was seen of above 500 brethren all at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have died, some have fallen asleep, which is a term for dying. So Paul is saying, and this is AD, this is 50 years, this letter is written approximately 50 years after Christ is resurrected. So if you had some of those guys that were in their 20s, they'd be about 70. Paul's saying, these dudes are still alive, man. It's only been 50 years ago, and these guys saw him, it was 500 of them, they saw him at once, and some of them are still alive. Go ask them for yourself. And you already know, we said it before, you can't get 500 people to agree on nothing. You definitely can't get 500 people to lie about anything. If I told y'all something and tell y'all don't tell anybody, before I got home, my phone would be ringing. Somebody going to say something. And what about these guys on their deathbed? They would say, you know what, that was a hoax. It really wasn't nothing. We made it up. All 500 of y'all made it up? Yeah. Really? But it was the contrary. They got killed because they wouldn't stop talking about it. They weren't confessing a lie. They confessed the truth and got killed. Just like Paul did. And Peter. And James. It's all of it is historical. So even if you don't believe the spiritual aspect of it, you can research the historical part of it. It's all history. Look at it as a history lesson. It happened. Are you going to join yourself to Christ or not? That's the question. All right, let's see how much further we can get before we have to call it a day. Okay, then he was seen of over 500 brethren all at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last, so he's going down the line of, I mean, he's telling them, because they're trying to say the resurrection didn't happen. He's saying, man, it did happen. 500 saw him. Peter saw him. 12 saw him. Then all the apostles, all those who saw him and began to preach the gospel are the apostles. They saw him. Some are still alive. Verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. So when I was reading verse 8, I had to dig a little bit deeper to see what Paul was saying. So Paul is saying he had an encounter with Christ when he was on the road to Damascus. And then I thought Paul was saying that he was born according to the timing of God, where everything has a reason, which we know it does, and we serve a God of detail, order, and specifics. But that's not what Paul is saying. Paul was saying he was born at the due time, born out of due time, but it's, when you look at it in the Greek, all that is one word. That word is ektroma, E-K-T-R-O-M-A. And he's saying I was a miscarriage. He said I was living like I'd been aborted. He said I was living for, okay, let me read it how it says. And last of all, he was seen of me also. I was living like I'd been aborted. I was living like I was a miscarriage. I was living like I was dead because I wasn't connected to Christ. Paul is saying I was living like I had been aborted. He said when we live without Christ, it's just like we're spiritually aborted. Because we're dead. We have no connection to Christ. That's why verse 9 says, that's why he says, for I'm the least, I'm the last, I'm the smallest of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted, I went after the church to kill Christians because I was living like I was aborted. Was living like I've been stillborn in the things of God. Family, don't live an aborted life. Get connected to God. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, make a note, read Ephesians 2, and it'll talk about if you're not connected to God, you are dead. You are the living dead. Pastor, it doesn't make sense. Go to your job tomorrow and look at the people that are not connected to Christ. They are the living dead. They're all around us. I know this is a hard word. I know. But Paul is trying to make it as plain as he can that if Christ didn't resurrect, then all this means nothing. And you are just dead in your sins, just like the rest of them. God bless you. But by the loving kindness of God, verse 10, I am what I am. And his loving kindness, his sweetness, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And then Paul said, I labored more abundantly. He said, I became a super Christian. That's what that more abundant. I worked more. He said, I became a super Christian because I was dead, because I was aborted, because I was killing Christians. Once I got saved, I became a super Christian. And we'll work hard for a bonus, our commission, for our job, but we won't do nothing for God. Paul said, I became a super Christian because I recognized how lost I was. He said, I'm the least that should be called a Christian, but because he saved me and because of his sweetness, his loving kindness, his delight, which is his grace, I became a super Christian. That's why when Nero cut off his head, it didn't bother him at all. And he didn't shut up about Jesus Christ. Because he already knew I was nothing. I was living an aborted life. I was a miscarriage walking around thinking I knew what was going on. Then I became a super Christian. He cut off my head. So what? I'm convinced of the resurrection because I saw him myself. Verse 11. He says, therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached and so you believed. It doesn't matter who preaches to you. And family, don't get frustrated trying to save folks. Just one man plants, one man waters, and God gives the increase. Stop getting so frustrated. Spend more time in prayer. Stop getting, it's not our job to save folks. What do we call it? We're agriculturists or horticulturists, whatever you call that stuff. We plant and we water. God gives in. Paul said, it don't even matter. Somebody preached to you. Somebody's going to put that word in you, and just like they did for us, and we're going to believe. So let me just go through this last part, then we'll take communion. Verse 12. Now, if Christ, so now he set that whole thing up to get to this part. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? What's this foolishness you're talking about that Christ didn't resurrect? He went through that whole thing, this whole diatribe, this whole, to say, what are you, so how do you tell me? I've told you, seen over 500 people, he's seen of James, he's seen of Peter, he's seen of the 12. He saw, why are you telling me that it's no resurrection? Why are you trying to say that we're still in our sins? Why are you trying to say that Christ didn't happen? Family, just look alive, look around. We're alive and we're in a church. Where did the church pop up from? It's not a man-made idea. His church is all throughout the world. It's not man-made. St. Thomas went to India. That's why they have churches in southern India. Mark went to Egypt. When we were in Egypt, they had churches all in Egypt. They said Mark came in the 4th century and preached the gospel. Ethiopia has one of the oldest churches, the oldest church in Africa. Because Philip went there, and then Matthew went there. It wasn't man-made. Churches all around the world, because God said go and they went. And here we are sitting in a church 2018 years later. Why? Because we got a bright idea that we want to talk about something. We go to a seminar for that. We don't have to come to church to talk about anything. Go anywhere and talk about stuff. But you come here to get the revelation of God through his word. This happened. Paul said, why are you trying to say it didn't happen? Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith also. You have nothing to stand on. Yeah, and we are found false witnesses. We're liars and lunatics because we go around telling people about Jesus Christ, and it didn't even happen. We all would be liars, or we all are liars. If the resurrection didn't happen, we're all liars and lunatics. Have a good day. You're on your job talking about Christ, you're a liar and a lunatic if the resurrection didn't happen. Be quiet. If you don't believe it, then be quiet. If you're not joined with Christ, then be quiet because you're a liar. If this didn't happen, then we're all liars and lunatics. And so was Christ, by the way. And don't let people tell you, when you go to college, don't let them tell you, Harold, that he's just a good man, because he's not, because he said he was God. And if he's just a good man, but he said he was God, that makes him a liar. I don't know any good men who are liars. Don't let them tell you, oh, he was a really good man. What, he went around lying. He said he was God. Who goes around lying? He say, oh, that's my best friend. He's a good man. What is he? He lies all the time. He lies all the time. Really? That's how you get down? Okay. Don't let him tell you that stuff. He's not a good man. He's God in the flesh. He resurrected. Or be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. Study the scriptures. Oh, no, don't come talking that good man stuff to me. What verse? Where am I at, Chris? Which one? 15. We're found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. And you are still in your sins. We're all still in our sins. That is a bad day. God help us. So let me finish this up. Then they also which are fallen asleep, those are all our family members who died in Christ, are gone. They're gone to nothingness. I guess that means my time is up. I better wrap this thing up. Woke some of y'all up, which is cool for the best part of the message. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are just wherever they at. somewhere, nothingness, vapors floating around, ghost in a building or something, scaring people. Oh, look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if Christ is only relevant in America or in this world, say we need to be pitied. If Christ doesn't transfer and translate into the afterlife, there's life after death because Jesus resurrected. We do know what happens after death because Jesus resurrected and told us. But he's saying, if all we have is Christ now and Christ doesn't mean anything after we die, then we need to be pitied. Okay, you guys are not getting it. Let me break it down. He's saying take. All right, let me see. Okay, I'm wrapping this up. If Christ is only valid in this life and not in the afterlife, then we of all people as Christians are the most pitiful. If in America, this life, we hope only in Christ, we might as well put Christ in the same category as everything else that just means something in this life. Like Spider-Man and Superman and Star Trek and Batman and Black Panther and Apollo and Zeus and Mount Olympus. Because when you die, you call on them, ain't nothing going to happen. Spider-Man ain't going to help you in the afterlife. Black Panther ain't either. Superman, the kryptonite, it ain't going to work. None of it. Apollo, Zeus. He's saying we might as well put Christ right there with them. If we only got him for now, then he's just like the rest of this stuff. Paul is saying you better take Jesus out of the common category. There's nothing common about Christ at all. Take Jesus out of the common category. He's not common like the rest of this stuff. There's nothing common about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not like your car and your house, because you just got that now. Right. In case you didn't know, you just got your house for right now. And it's not even yours.
All right.
Even if it's paid for, it's not yours because you ain't taking it with you. Just put Christ right here with your house and your car. Somebody going to drive off in your car. Probably one of your grandkids or something going to wreck it in a week. And you kept it spotless in the garage. And then your daughter and her boyfriend are moving in your house. They're going to shack up in your house. That you done held on to because it only stays here. Your daughter and her little loser boyfriend going to shack up in your house. He going to put his feet on your coffee table, which you love so much. He's going to eat in the living room and in the bedroom. And then roaches going to come, never in your house, but now it's in your house. Because it stays here. And he's saying, if we can only count on Christ here, then we're pitiful. Pitiful. He feels sorry for us. You can't put Christ in the same category. Your cell phone going to stay. Your money going to stay. It's all going to stay. You can't take your cell phone to heaven with you. Be like, let me see how many followers I got. None, because I'm dead. Okay. It ain't going. They're not going to follow you. Delete, delete, delete. Soon as you're gone. Those things mean nothing after you and I die. They are all common. Christ is not common, is what Paul is saying. Paul's saying you better snap out of it and renew your mind and place the resurrection of Christ in its proper place. Amen. Snap out of it. Renew your mind. Put the resurrection of Christ in its proper place. It's not common. It's not ordinary. It's not like your house. It's not like your car. So as we take communion, oh my gosh. Y'all can tell I missed y'all. As we quickly take communion. Chris, just turn back. Turn back four chapters to chapter 11. Paul has been setting this whole thing up. In 11 and 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Thank you, my brother. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. So this is the prequel to his resurrection. He broke bread. But let me say it again. If he didn't resurrect, then we don't even need to take communion, because it means nothing. It's only in this life alone, and it means absolutely nothing. So as you take communion, understand what it meant. That Christ paid a physical price. And he shed his blood for us. And the resurrection happened. And it transfers to the next afterlife as well. Whatever you stand on is what you're counting on to save you. Reprioritize your life immediately. And just think about all that God did for us and what this communion means right now. Brothers, you can pass out the sacraments. If you're visiting, yes, you can take communion. If you are saved, yes, please take communion. If you haven't accepted Christ, then don't, and see me after service so we can make sure you can take it the next time. You always